Hello and welcome to our program, Money Matters, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Deb Parsons, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from Kiplinger Magazine here on OWL Radio. Starting out today is an article titled, Holding Down Retiree Drug Costs. Legislation enacted in 2022 could eventually reduce overall prescription prices, too. If you're enrolled in Medicare and spend a lot of money on prescription drugs, legislation enacted last summer could lower some of your expenses. The prescription drug provisions in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act will be phased in over 7 years, but some take effect as early as this year. To get more out of these cost-saving provisions, you need to be vigilant, and you may need to make some changes to your existing prescription drug regimen. Caps on insulin payments. If your insulin is covered by your Part D prescription drug plan, your copayments are capped at $35 a month, effective January 1st. For beneficiaries who use an insulin pump, which is covered by Part B, the $35 copayment cap kicks in July 1st. The caps take effect automatically, but if your insulin is covered by your Part D plan, you may want to review it. There are more than 70 types of insulin on the market, and Part D plans have the option of deciding which ones to cover. When the Inflation Reduction Act was signed into law last summer, 2023 premiums and copays for participating private insurers had already been incorporated into the Plan Finder tool at Medicare.gov, so they didn't include the $35 cap, says Kelly Jo Greiner, director of the Minnesota State Health Insurance Assistance Program, which provides free counseling for Medicare beneficiaries. Because of the outdated information in Plan Finder, some seniors may have chosen a Part D plan with a type of insulin that has a lower copayment than the type their doctor recommended, or some may have selected a plan that doesn't cover insulin at all, says Lee Purvis, director of Healthcare Costs and Access for AARP's Public Policy Institute. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, has given beneficiaries who use insulin until the end of the year to switch Part D plans. Call 800-633-4227 if you take insulin and want to change your plan. For help choosing a plan that fits your needs, contact a SHIP counselor at www.shiphelp.org. Diabetic patients who aren't on Medicare could also see their costs decline. Eli Lilly recently announced that it's slashing the cost of its commonly prescribed insulin drugs and expanding a program that caps out-of-pocket costs at $35 a month. Free shingles vaccines. Vaccines for the flu, pneumonia, hepatitis D, and COVID-19 are covered by Medicare Part B, generally with no copays. But the shingles vaccine, which the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends for everyone 50 and older, is covered by Part D and may require a copay or coinsurance depending on the plan. Starting this year, Part D plans must cover the shingles vaccine, along with other adult vaccines recommended by the CDC at no cost. Greiner says not all pharmacies are aware of this change, so if you are on Medicare and were charged for a shingles vaccine administered after January 1st, contact your Part D plan or a SHIP counselor for help getting a refund. Rebates. Starting this year, manufacturers of drugs used by Medicare beneficiaries will be required to pay rebates to Medicare if their drug prices increase faster than the rate of inflation. The formula used to calculate rebates will be based on the drug's average price, so this provision could have a spillover effect, slowing price increases for all users, not just Medicare beneficiaries, Purvis says. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, prices for half of drugs covered by Medicare increased faster than the inflation rate between 2019 and 2020. However, inflation has risen sharply since then, which could mute the impact of this provision, at least in the short term. What's ahead? Starting in 2024, annual increases in Part D premiums will be capped at no more than 6% per year. In addition, participants will no longer pay coinsurance for Part D catastrophic coverage, which kicks in once out-of-pocket spending exceeds an annual threshold, $7,400 in 2023. Starting in 2025, Part D participants' out-of-pocket spending will be capped at $2,000 a year. In future years, the cap will be indexed to the rate of increase in Part D per capita costs. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that 1.4 million Part D participants without low-income subsidies spent $2,000 or more on out-of-pocket costs in 2020. Finally, starting in 2026, Medicare will begin negotiating prices for certain high-priced drugs covered by Part B and Part D. The number of beneficiaries who will benefit from negotiated prices will depend on the drugs selected and extent of price reductions, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. CMS plans to announce the first 10 drugs it will select for price negotiations by September. Next up, unhappy returns. Expecting a big tax refund? Don't spend the money yet. Many taxpayers will receive a smaller check from the IRS in 2023. Few Americans relish filing their tax returns or paying someone else to do it, but the prospect of a refund provides a strong incentive to get the job done. This year, though, many taxpayers may be disappointed by the size of their annual check from the IRS. Through the end of February, the average tax refund was $3,140, down 11.2% from the same period in 2022. There are several reasons your tax refund may be smaller this year. After sending out billions of dollars in stimulus checks during the pandemic, the federal government turned off the tap in 2022, which means you'll no longer have an opportunity to file for unclaimed stimulus checks. The child tax credit and the child and dependent care credits, which were increased under the pandemic-related American Rescue Plan, have been scaled back to previous levels. Those who received $3,600 for each eligible dependent in 2021 will receive a maximum of $2,000 per dependent in 2022. The child and dependent care credit returns to a maximum of $2,100 compared with $8,000 in 2021. In addition, Congress didn't extend a pandemic-related provision that let taxpayers claim an above-the-line deduction for up to $600 in charitable contributions. Unless you itemize your deductions, you won't get a tax break for your philanthropic largess in 2022. Where's my refund? In her annual report to Congress, IRS taxpayer advocate Erin Collins said the agency was in a better position to serve taxpayers in 2023 than it was a year ago, when backlogs delayed processing of tax returns and customer service was abysmal. If you e-filed your 2022 tax return and arranged for direct deposit, the IRS says you should receive your return in less than 21 days. For paper-filed returns, refunds take longer, 4 weeks or more. You can check the status of your refund at www.irs.gov/refunds. If you file an amended return and are due a refund, you won't have to wait as long for your money as taxpayers did in the past. The IRS announced earlier this year that taxpayers who e-file an amended return on Form 1040X can select direct deposit for any resulting refund. Taxpayers have been able to file amended returns electronically since 2020, but had to wait for the IRS to mail them a check. Put your refund to work. Although average refunds are still smaller this year, $3,140 is still a significant amount of money. While there's nothing wrong with a modest splurge, consider these strategies to get the most out of your refund. Shore up your emergency fund. Unemployment remains at record lows, but several major employers have announced big cuts, and layoffs will likely accelerate if the economy dips into recession. Aim to have 6 months of living expenses in a savings account. Pay off credit cards. Credit card balances rose to a record $986 billion at the end of 2022, according to the New York Federal Reserve. Meanwhile, rising interest rates have pushed the average credit card interest rate to more than 20%. Save for retirement or out-of-pocket healthcare costs. You can invest up to $6,500 in a Roth or a traditional IRA in 2023, $7,500 if you're 50 or older. If you have a qualified high-deductible health insurance plan with a deductible of at least $1,500 for single coverage or $3,000 for family coverage, you can contribute to a health savings account. In 2023, you can contribute up to $3,850 for self-care-only coverage and $7,750 for family coverage, plus $1,000 if you're 55 or older. Contributions are pre-tax or deductible if you're self-employed, the money grows tax-deferred, and you can use it tax-free to pay out-of-pocket medical expenses in any year. On the Kiplinger calendar for May 2023, Monday, May 1st, hurricane season starts June 1st, which means it's also the season of flooding. If you're considering buying flood insurance through the National Flood Insurance Program, do it soon. There's typically a 30-day waiting period before flood coverage takes effect. For information on costs and coverage limits, go to www.floodsmart.gov. Thursday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you on Star Wars Day. Look for discounts of up to 80% on Star Wars-themed merchandise, such as graphic t-shirts, toys, and accessories. Sunday, May 14th. It's Mother's Day. The pandemic gave the delivery industry a boost, and options for floral deliveries have expanded. If you're thinking of having flowers delivered to your mom today, shop around, because you may have more choices than in the past. Monday, May 29th, Memorial Day, honors those who lost their lives in war. Consider donating to a charity that supports the families of fallen soldiers, such as the Children of Fallen Soldiers Relief Fund, www.cfsrf.org, and Angels of Americans Fallen, www.aoafallen.org, both of which support families who have lost a parent or guardian in the line of duty. Monday, May 29th, it's 529 College Savings Day. Give your children or grandchildren a head start on paying for college by opening a college savings account. Check your own state's plan first. Most offer a tax break for residents, and some will offer incentives today, such as matching funds for new accounts. Deal of the month. Look for Memorial Day sales on major appliances at big box stores such as Home Depot, Lowe's, and Best Buy. Warehouse clubs such as Costco and Sam's Club could also provide good deals, especially if you're shopping for multiple items. Expect to see discounts from 30 to 40% or even higher, says Julie Ramhold, consumer analyst for Deal News. Next up under Briefing, information about the markets and your money. Fighting back against junk fees. In his State of the Union address in February, President Biden talked about efforts to eradicate junk fees and his administration's proposed Junk Fees Prevention Act. The legislation mainly targets four kinds of fees and surcharges: service fees at concerts and sporting events, fees charged by airlines so family members can sit together, resort fees at hotels, and early termination fees charged to consumers who want to switch cable TV, internet, or mobile phone providers. As long as Republicans control the House of Representatives, most Biden initiatives are dead on arrival. The administration has had some success using regulations and applying pressure to restrict bank fees and lower the charges for late payments on credit cards. It has also made progress nudging some companies to retreat on fees in the face of threatened new rules. Bank fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has been targeting overdraft and bounced check fees, and over the past year and a half or so, 15 of the 20 largest banks have ended bounced check fees. The CFPB followed up by releasing guidance banning surprise overdraft fees for overdrawing a checking account, even though at the time of purchase, there appear to be sufficient funds, plus surprise depositor fees charged when you deposit someone else's bounced check. It looks as if banks have not raised other checking account fees to compensate for that lost revenue, according to the CFPB. Airline fees. The Department of Transportation has proposed a rule to require airlines and online booking services to show the full price of a plane ticket upfront, including baggage and other fees. The Department of Transportation also published a dashboard of airline policies when flights are delayed or canceled due to issues under the airline's control. As of late February, 9 airlines guarantee coverage of hotels and 10 airlines guarantee coverage of meals. The Biden administration's proposed legislation and rules in the works from DOT would ensure that children who are age 13 or younger are seated next to an accompanying adult at no extra charge. United said it is changing its policy effective in early March to make it easier than ever for kids younger than 12 to sit next to an accompanying adult for free. Other large airlines say they already have policies in place to find seats together with no additional seat fee. Event ticket fees. In a review of 31 different sporting events over 5 ticket sellers' websites conducted by the Government Accounting Office several years ago, service charges averaged more than 20% of the ticket's face value, and total fees, including processing fees, delivery fees, and facility fees, sometimes added up to more than half the cost of the ticket itself. Lack of competition in the industry and few options for consumers means that even if you know you'll have to pay a large fee on top of the ticket cost, you probably can't avoid it. The Junk Fees Prevention Act would cap service fees on tickets to concerts and sporting events and make companies disclose all fees upfront. Resort fees. You may see surprise resort fees or destination fees when you check out of a hotel or at the end of booking a reservation online. Over the past decade, a growing number of hotels have imposed these fees, which can be $20 to $50 or more per night, especially in cities such as Las Vegas, Miami, and Orlando. The proposed law would require hotels to include them in the price of the room. At resortfeechecker.com, you can look up properties to see how much they charge. If you don't expect to use the amenities the fee covers, try asking the hotel to remove it from your bill. Hilton and Hyatt hotels waive the fee if you book a stay with loyalty rewards points or a free night reward. Next up, new SUVs eligible for the EV tax credit. At the end of 2022, the IRS released guidance to help determine which electrical vehicles were eligible for a new $7,500 tax credit introduced under the Inflation Reduction Act. To be eligible, cars must have a manufacturer's suggested retail price less than $55,000, while eligible vans, pickup trucks, and SUVs cannot have an MSRP of more than $80,000. To address confusion around vehicle classifications and price limits, the Treasury Department and the IRS released new guidance in February. Now, several crossover vehicles, including the Tesla Model Y, Ford Mustang Mach-3, and Cadillac LYRIQ, qualify as SUVs and are eligible for the tax credit as long as the MSRP doesn't exceed $80,000. The new guidance is retroactive to January 1, 2023. From the Kiplinger Letter, you'll pay more for a babysitter. Need a babysitter? Prepare to open your wallet as rates have jumped. The U.S. average in 2022 was nearly $23 per hour for one child, a 10% hike compared with 2021. Outpacing inflation for the second straight year, says Urban Sitter, a website that links parents with babysitters. It's about $25 per hour for two children. Rates are generally highest on the East and West Coasts and cheaper elsewhere. San Francisco is the most expensive major urban area at $25.24 per hour for one child. Reasons for pricier sitters: a babysitter shortage, higher demand, and rising inflation. Some good news. Rates should hold fairly steady this year, for the most part. Next up, under Money Smart Women, how to save your way to a million. In my March Money Smart Women column, I offered young people tips for getting their spending under control. As promised, this month I'm going to give you saving strategies that will start you on the path to making $1 million, $1 at a time. Step 1. Set a savings goal and write it down. When you put something in writing that you're trying to accomplish, it serves as a constant reminder, much like a to-do list, and you're more likely to achieve it. It's also important to make your goal as specific as possible. Saving for the future is commendable, but your motivation gets a boost when you're working towards something concrete. Start with something relatively small, say a special outfit you have your eye on, or even a vacation. Step 2. Set up a system for getting there. For example, you might decide that you're going to save a certain amount every pay period, and you know that money will be available because you followed the advice in my previous column on controlling your spending. Keep your eye on the prize, literally, by getting a big jar or other container and pasting on it a picture of your goal. Toss in your spare change or other money you save by passing up on smaller purchases. It's an immediate reward for your self-discipline, and you can see your money grow. I know of one person who accumulates several hundred dollars a year this way and uses the money to buy holiday gifts. pay yourself first. Build savings into your spending plan so you're not scrambling for money at the end of the month. And once you move on to bigger goals, a house, college for your kids, your own retirement, arrange for your employer or your bank to automatically take money right off the top of your paycheck and deposit it into a savings or investment account so that you never see it and it never has a chance to burn a hole in your pocket. Take advantage of your retirement plan at work. That's the easiest way to save. If your employer gives you a match, that's free money that you don't have to come up with yourself. And the recently passed Secure Act 2.0 expands perks for retirement savers. Start small. You don't need to earn a hefty salary or put aside a big chunk of cash. Even $50 or less per paycheck is a start. The key is to get into the habit early, save regularly, and continue to save throughout your life. When you get raises at work, you can increase your automatic savings. And you'll feel better when you're spending money because you know your savings are taken care of first. Start soon. You will never be in a better position to save money than you are right now. That's because you have one huge asset going for you, time. Consider the case of two women, Terry and Tony. At age 20, Terry began saving $1,000 per year in a retirement account, and she continues to save $1,000 for the next 10 years. Then, with a new home and young children to care for, she leaves her job and stops saving. Tony, on the other hand, waits until she's about 30 to start saving, but she puts aside $1,000 a year for the next 40 years. Each of the young women earn the same return on their money. When they each retire at age 70, Terry will actually end up with more money because she started saving earlier. That's because the power of compound interest, and it's the reason why even small amounts of cash saved now can grow into great gobs of money over the years. Bottom line, follow the four secrets to saving success. Start soon, start small, keep it simple, and save steadily, and you'll be on your way to that $1 million. You don't need a winning lottery ticket, a get-rich-quick scheme, or a rich uncle to help you out. Just stick with the basics and keep your eye on the ball, and you'll reap the rewards. Under credit, a salvo against credit card fees. Failing to pay your credit card bill on time can result in a hefty fee. The amount varies by card, but under federal rules, issuers can currently charge up to $30 for the first late payment and up to $41 for subsequent late payments within 6 months. The maximum fee is subject to an annual adjustment for inflation, which reached 40-year highs in 2022. Americans rack up about $12 billion each year in credit card late fees, according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Recently, the CFPB proposed capping credit card late fees at $8, estimating that large card issuers generate about 5 times more in income from late fees than the collection costs they incur for late payment violations. The CFPB also wants to limit late fees to no more than 25% of the minimum payment that the cardholder owes and eliminate the automatic inflation adjustment. The CFPB is gathering public comments on its proposals and has not issued a final rule. Other consequences of paying late. Fees aren't the only potential negative outcome of missing a credit card payment. If you pay your bill 30 days late or more, the issuer will likely report it to the credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Payment history has more impact on your credit score than any other factor, and skipping payments can cause your score to sink significantly, especially if you previously had a clean record. Paying late can also trigger a penalty annual percentage rate, which replaces your card's standard APR and may run as high as 29.99%. If you slip up and miss a payment, ask the issuer whether it will cut you a break, especially if it's your first offense. Nearly 90% of people who have attempted to get a credit card late fee waived were successful, according to a study from personal finance site WalletHub. Setting up automatic payments of your credit card bill from your bank account can help you avoid missing payments. With most issuers, you can also sign up to receive automatic reminders of upcoming due dates by text message, email, or mobile app notification. And finally for today, paying it forward, a helping hand for startups. After a successful career as a corporate executive, he volunteers as a mentor for entrepreneurs. Profile: Who? Ricardo Casas, age 70. What? Assistant District Director of SCORE for Southeast Florida, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. A lot of people have heard of SCORE, but many may not know exactly what it does. Our mission is to support the small business community through mentoring and education. We have 10,000 volunteers. They are mostly mentors, but we also have people who present webinars and support in other functions. Half of the volunteers at SCORE are working professionals. SCORE has served over 11 million people since its start. Sessions average an hour, and last week, our volunteers provided around 4.6 million hours of mentoring and education to clients. How is it funded? We are a resource partner of the Small Business Administration, and as such, Congress provides funding for SCORE. We supplement that with different grants and relationships with community partners. How did you get involved? I was very fortunate to have a wonderful career with the ExxonMobil Corporation in global business planning, and on the retail side, opening and starting up different businesses. When I retired in 2015, I was looking for opportunities to use all the knowledge I had in a manageable way. I read about SCORE, a friend who was a mentor introduced me, and then joined. I'm now a member of SCORE's National Hispanic Committee. We help a very large group of Hispanic businesses in the U.S., providing mentoring and resources in Spanish and other languages. What's the process like for businesses that want help? All they have to do is go to score.org and ask for a mentor. They choose whether they want to have sessions in person, via video, or even via email. SCORE will then assign them someone based on their business needs. So if they want help with getting a loan, then SCORE will probably assign them somebody who has a background in commercial banking that can help with an application, or the entrepreneur will choose a mentor from a list of profiles. The mentoring lasts as long as the client needs the service. Sometimes clients need to expand their business, so they come back and ask for help in setting up a second location. In my case, I have clients that I have been seeing for 5-6 years. What kinds of questions do you get most from small business owners? They often have a great idea and ask how to get started and turn the idea into a business. That's really an area where SCORE mentors are helpful because entrepreneurs many times have ideas that we've already seen or are similar to ones we have experience with. You have been listening to Money Matters on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Deb Parsons saying goodbye from Owl Radio.